Experimentation is how generation-defining companies win. But you need a reliable, rigorous system to run experiments effectively. Welcome to Eppo, a next-generation A/B testing platform that helps modern growth teams maximize ROI and understand the impact of new features. Visit getepo.com/freak to learn how Eppo can help you increase experimentation velocity while unlocking rigorous, deep analysis in a way that no other commercial tool does. That's getepo.com/freak.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthy living.
What day does fever start?
Wednesday.
If you've ever watched a medical drama on TV, you're used to hearing things like this.
We're already at day 10.
What's day 10?
Did Parker have red eyes?
He was asleep the last time I checked.
Let's go.
Lots of fast talking, scribbling a bunch of diseases on a whiteboard and dramatically crossing them out, hunching over petri dishes in a lab, doing tests. And of course, let's not forget, breaking into a patient's house to find out what's poisoning them.
Okay, $20 as I can get through this door in 20 seconds.
You're on.
Count me in.
On these medical shows, which I gotta admit, even I love to watch, they always manage to make the cliffhanger come right before the commercial break. And of course, they solve the case just before the episode is over. It all looks very exciting. And as someone who's also a doctor, maybe a little too good to be true. Well, what if I told you that today we were going to put the diagnostic skills of a real doctor, a guy who you could reasonably call the real life but much more functional and friendly Dr. House, under the microscope?
No, we don't break into people's houses like on HouseMD to find that pet or that toxin that's sitting in there. But there's a lot of thinking that goes on outside the exam room.
That's Dr. Gurpreet Dhaliwal. He's a medical school professor at the University of California, San Francisco.
I'm a general internist, and I work in the emergency department, the inpatient wards of the hospital, and the clinic. And my area of interest is how doctors think, and in particular, how they diagnose.
And today, we're going to hear him try to solve an actual medical mystery in real time. From the Freakonomics Radio Network, welcome to Freakonomics MD. I'm Bapu Jena. I'm a medical doctor and an economist. Usually on this show, I dissect a fascinating question at the sweet spot between health and economics. But today's episode is a little different. Every one of us needs medical care at some point in our lives, and when we do, it can be scary. Part of what makes seeing the doctor so scary is that we have no idea what's going on in their head. Why is the doctor looking at my skin so carefully? What's that on the computer screen they're looking at? Why did they just sigh? To demystify things a bit, today we're going to get to hear what happens inside a doctor's head when they're seeing a patient with a new medical dilemma. We're going to give Dr. Gurpreet Dhaliwal a real medical case to solve. Once he hears the info, he'll make a diagnosis and most importantly, explain how he came to his decision. I want to emphasize that what you hear today are his deductions in real time. Gurpreet has no idea what he is about to hear. To help us with this challenge, I've asked another doctor to join us.
Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Sharmin Shekarchan. I am an assistant professor affiliated with Stanford.
Sharmin was a student of Gurpreet's at UCSF. She also leads an effort called Clinical Problem Solvers, which is all about teaching doctors how to be better at making a diagnosis. She's prepared our case for this episode. And I just want to say that any identifying information about the patient has been scrubbed from this file. All the information is real, from the patient history to the lab result. Okay, let's go.
Miss Miller is a 75-year-old woman who came to the emergency room. She had back pain for the past 8 years from spinal stenosis. Over the past 2 weeks, though, the back pain has suddenly worsened out of nowhere. The pain was constant in the middle of her lower back and shut down her right hip. She had no physical injury to the back. She didn't experience any fevers or chills, bowel or urinary symptoms. She had about 30 pounds of unintentional weight loss over the prior year. She had a good appetite without any vomiting or abdominal pain.
What else do we know about her history?
She had coronary artery disease with stent placement 10 years prior. She also had high blood pressure and was on metformin for diabetes. Her heart medicine included aspirin, lisinopril, and atorvastatin. She had quit smoking cigarettes 40 years ago.
Okay, Gurpreet, what are you thinking so far?
So the major problem that we're contending with here is low back pain, which is exceptionally common. But there's something else that I noticed, which is that she's lost 30 pounds. But I do want to examine if the weight loss could have happened independently of the back pain to start. But I am also going to consider if the process that's causing the worsening of her back pain is also causing her to lose weight. So an example of that would be if there was a cancer or an infection that has set up shop in her back and is causing the worsening of pain, but is also consuming calories and energy in her body and causing her to lose weight. So I think this is the type of patient where we would get an x-ray, at least as a starting point, to see what's happening in the back. And we may need more advanced imaging later.
Thank you, Gurpreet, for just kind of laying the groundwork for how you're thinking about what's important. Charmaine, I'd be curious to hear what other information you were able to obtain.
Absolutely. On the physical exam, her temperature, blood pressure, and breathing were normal. As she looked tired, she had muscle wasting in both temples. Her lung, heart, and abdominal exam were normal. She had lower back tenderness. Her strength, sensation, and reflexes were normal. She had a normal white count. She had anemia measured by hemoglobin level of 8.5, with the red blood cells that were on average smaller than normal, reflected on MCV of 75. Her electrolytes, kidney function, and liver tests were all normal. She had elevated inflammatory markers.
Gurpreet, help us synthesize that information.
There's a general signal that there is inflammation and a disease that's been unfolding for weeks or months or even longer, and she has muscle wasting. There's a special number that Charmaine mentioned, which is the MCV. It's sort of a clue of how big the red cells are. This is a tad on the small side. And when red blood cells are small, that oftentimes clues us in that they are small because the body is low on an essential nutrient, which is iron. And I could then start to think of what would be reasons for her to have iron deficiency. There are some cancers, if they are in our stomach or intestine or large intestine, can cause iron deficiency. And so I'm already concerned about the possibility that there might be a cancer, like colon cancer. Another one that has that as a characteristic is something called multiple myeloma, which is a bone marrow cancer that can cause a combination of back pain and anemia.
Charmaine, what other information unfolded?
So next, MRI of the spine showed evidence of disc and vertebral bone inflammation in both the upper and lower spine. An ultrasound of the heart called a TTE showed a thickened heart valves, mild aortic regurgitation, but without any clear collection of bacteria known as vegetation. Her anemia workup was consistent with iron deficiency and her stool was positive for blood. Blood samples showed the bacteria called Enterococcus faecalis.
Wait, what? A cliffhanger? Really? All right, people. Hear Gurpreet's diagnosis coming up right after this. Can I at least get some medical drama music to take me to the break? Oh, that's not bad. I like it. Okay, I guess I can see the point of the cliffhanger.
Experimentation is how generation-defining companies win. But you need a reliable, rigorous system to run experiments effectively. Welcome to Eppo, a next-generation A/B testing platform that helps modern growth teams maximize ROI and understand the impact of new features. Visit getepo.com/freak to learn how Eppo can help you increase experimentation velocity while unlocking rigorous, deep analysis in a way that no other commercial tool does. That's getepo.com/freak.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
Previously on Freakonomics MD.
We heard about a patient's symptoms, history, and lab results. Now it's up to Gurpreet Dhaliwal to tell us what he thinks the diagnosis is for this patient. And I want you to note, he didn't even get a commercial break to mull things over while we were recording. We only gave him 60 seconds to answer after Sharmeen Shakarchian asked,
"What's the final diagnosis?"
I previously was discussing about the possibility of cancer, and now there's a signal, eventually a strong signal, that infection is the problem. And the question is, could both of them be present at the same time? So that MRI showed us that there's inflammation in the disc and inflammation in the bone, and those are typically caused by an infection. So the question naturally comes, where is the infection from? How did it get there? And we worry about an infection if it's present in the back, having come from the bloodstream. And now the question is, where did that enterocolitis come from? And it now starts to connect with the other idea that we were concerned about, which is, if she's low on iron, why is she low on iron? That makes us think about, you know, something as simple and treatable as an ulcer to something as sinister as a cancer. And given the information here and the weight loss that she had, I'm quite concerned about the latter. So with this combination, the test that she's likely going to need is a colonoscopy. So my leading suspicion here is that she has a colon cancer, which has led to iron deficiency anemia, and the colon cancer with a small breach led to the enterococcus in the blood. There's still a slight concern that that enterococcus didn't just land in the back, but on its way going through the bloodstream may have landed on the heart valves. Although we did one test that shows that there was no abnormality on the heart valves, or at least not a significant one, you can do a different type of echocardiogram and get a closer picture to determine if there is or isn't an infection on the heart valves. And I think that may be warranted in this case.
Sharmeen, did any of those things happen?
Dear audience, I promise you Gurpreet has not seen any of these information that I'm about to read to you. There was still a high clinical suspicion for infective endocarditis, which is infection involving the inner lining of the heart and the valves. So another kind of ultrasound of the heart called transesophageal echocardiogram was performed. It showed bacterial growth. She was treated for enterococcus endocarditis with IV antibiotics. She underwent a colonoscopy that showed colon cancer. She's scheduled for a follow-up with oncology and general surgery for management and treatment.
First of all, I'm amazed. This is amazing, Gurpreet. Let me just ask you, how quickly did you start to formulate an idea about what was going on, like a sketch of a set of diagnoses that might explain her symptoms?
I started forming my hypotheses early on, just like studies show of doctors, that they form hypotheses in the first 30 to 60 seconds. The part that got me concerned early on was the weight loss of 30 pounds. And we are trained to see that combination of back pain and weight loss and be concerned about either an infection or cancer. And there's many other reasons that people can lose weight that would be unrelated to their back. And in some ways, we hold out hope for that. But as the evidence kept converging, the simple story that I had, that this was a flare of a pre-existing condition, started to fade to the background.
Sharmeen, how does this make you feel?
I'm just really, really glad I have Gurpreet's number so I can just call him and run cases by him.
Yeah. Yeah. His number is 1-800-DR-DHALIWAL.
I promise you, Sharmeen would have gotten to the same conclusion, but I appreciate the vote of confidence. You can't see me, but I'm blushing.
That set of connections is not something that I would have made. Again, I'm just impressed by how you were able to keep asking that question of why this bacteria, why this anemia, what's going on in her heart. Amazing.
One thing begets another question. We talk about what is the diagnosis, but really there was lots of diagnoses along the way,
yeah.
And each one led to another why. I mean, you could even take that a step further and say, what are the reasons that this person was susceptible to colon cancer? It's almost this never-ending quest to understand the root cause.
So Sharmeen and Gurpreet, people who are not in healthcare just got a window into how doctors think. And what would you have people take away? Sharmeen, let me start with you.
At the end of the day, when I think about medicine, I think about at the core of it is a partnership between a physician and a patient. And we wouldn't be able to make progress in our diagnosis if patients don't trust us. If you don't get the right information from the patient, the right history, then we're not going to be on the right track.
In fact, making the diagnosis is only half of the job. The other half is communicating it clearly and compassionately to the patient and their family. So I hope there are lessons that maybe transcend problem solving in medicine and they apply to problem solving in all fields. Oftentimes, you don't need to have detailed or encyclopedic knowledge. It's more important to have a rigorous way of thinking through something. We don't have to test for everything, but we do have to at least consider it in our mind.
Gurpreet and Charmaine, I think for most of the people who are listening to this show, this is going to feel like a house MD, except with Gurpreet MD. As an avid viewer of shows like Grey's Anatomy and House, I'm just curious, when you watch shows like that, you know, what do you think?
I think the diagnostic journey during House is fascinating, although a lot of the things that he does is quite unethical.
So you're saying that House, he doesn't follow HIPAA? No? Okay.
I believe there are a couple of things that he does wrong. Just a couple, though.
No, I have caught all of those shows. I think most of them I saw in their early iterations. You know, ER, for instance, was like a staple when I was in medical school. We were so excited. We used to get together and watch it. File it under entertainment. Maybe I'd say Scrubs and ER capture the reality of the world a little more than sure. House and Grey's Anatomy.
Sure.
But the one thing I would say all of them do, sometimes to absurdity, is they do show how hard everyone is working to try to figure out what's going on with the patient. The patient doesn't get a sense of how much work is happening behind the scenes.
Gurpreet, Charmaine, I want to thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you so much. It was a real honor to invite me and Charmaine on the show, and you let us do the thing that we love most, which is clinical problem solving. Thank you.
Couldn't have said it any better. Thank you so much.
I first met Gurpreet Dhaliwal about 5 years ago. I remember I was at a conference with other physicians, and Gurpreet's diagnostic skills were actually the nighttime entertainment. For us, watching an amazing diagnostician unravel a medical case is about as good as a magic show. And if you've been listening to this podcast all along, you know I love a good magic show. Shout out to Tricky Tim. So on stage, Gurpreet was presented with a case about a young flight attendant who had just returned from a flight to Southeast Asia with a fever and a cough that would not go away. The doctor presenting the case to Gurpreet told him that the woman had been tested for tuberculosis multiple times, probably at different hospitals, and each test came back negative. For me, that would have ruled out a diagnosis of tuberculosis. When Gurpreet was asked to make a final diagnosis, though, again, standing in a room full of 100 doctors, what was his final call? Tuberculosis. And Gurpreet was right. The fourth time the young woman was tested, it was positive. That night has stood out in my mind for several years now. I was amazed that Gurpreet was confident enough in his deductive skills as a doctor to offer up a diagnosis on stage in the face of overwhelming data suggesting the contrary. Now, while many doctors may not be ready to stand in the spotlight, we are working behind the scenes to solve complex puzzles with high stakes, your health. And we need all the pieces we can get. You got to tell us everything, folks. If everyone was as curious and warm as Gurpreet, maybe that would feel easier to do, right? That's why I wanted you all to hear from him today. And it's worth emphasizing, what Gurpreet did was incredibly difficult because in the real world, when you see a patient and have a set of facts, it's never all the information that you need. There are things that are missing. There's distracting information. And sometimes there's just wrong information. So, how do doctors get better? If you talk to doctors like Gurpreet, who in medicine we sometimes refer to as master clinicians, there is this term that you hear come up frequently, deliberate practice. For these doctors, it means that lifelong learning becomes intentional. Medicine changes rapidly. We have new tests and treatments coming out all the time. I don't really think it's possible to be a good doctor without being an active, lifelong learner. In fact, I did a study a few years back that showed that the older a doctor was, the worse the outcomes were for their patients. That may seem a bit disheartening, but We did find that doctors who treated a lot of patients as they got older, these are doctors who were still in the thick of it, learning. Those doctors didn't see the mortality of their patients affected by their age in the same way. Where I work, Mass General in Boston, many doctors actually wear short white coats. Normally, you only see those coats on medical students, but the purpose for wearing them is for us all to remember that we should always be learning. That's it for this week's episode of Freakonomics MD. Thanks for listening, and I hope you subscribe to or follow the show. If you have any thoughts on the show, ideas, anything at all, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at bapu@freakonomics.com. That's bapu@freakonomics.com.
Freakonomics MD is part of the Freakonomics Radio Network, which also includes Freakonomics Radio, No Stupid Questions, and People I Mostly Admire. This show is produced by Stitcher and Renbud Radio. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Bapu Pod. This episode was produced by Trisha Bobita and mixed by Adam Yaffe. Our staff also includes Stephen Dubner, Allison Craiglow, Greg Rippin, Joel Meyer, Emma Terrell, Eleanor Osborne, Jasmine Klinger, Lyric Bowditch, and Jacob Clementi. If you like this show or any other show in the Freakonomics Radio Network, please recommend it to your family and friends. That's the best way to support the podcasts you love. As always, thanks for listening. The Freakonomics Radio Network, the hidden side of everything.
Stitcher.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.